This is our season. I really just felt that God really, like Jesus standing at Jerusalem, saying like a hen gathering her chicks. So God is over His people, and I really believe that God is going to gather the little chicks to really come to His throne. So let's pray for them in this time. I had the privilege in making boerewors. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but yesterday Hanku and Mariette blessed us with quite an experience. I know now that here in London you can do things like that as well. Thank you, that was amazing. It's sausage for those who are very English here today and don't know South African foods. It was quite a blessing. Thanks, Mariette. You guys were really a blessing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It's a word that that God birthed in my heart years ago, and I remember, preaching it over and over and over, just because God is amazing. And I know that this is a word that at the time was so blessed to me because of what it represents, and I believe this is also the time for it. I believe this is the time when God wants to bring us back to the basics, a place where God is releasing. So the whole week God has been speaking to me about it. Even the week before that, I thought I was on preaching last weekend, so I was ready for this, but God's timing is perfect. So I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I don't know if they understood what Jesus was asking of them, but this was the words of Jesus. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, I'm just so convicted about the fact that we many times, in society that we are living in, are at a place where we sometimes even believe the words of Sir... Is he still a Sir? Cliff Richard? Yeah. Okay, he's still a Sir. Sir Cliff Richard and even Bette Midler of From a Distance. And sometimes we sing that song and we forget that God is not so far off. Okay, we think sometimes God is there far in the distance, and we are just scraping by here on earth, and God have mercy on us so that we can just survive here on earth. And that is not God's plan for our lives. And I want to continue where I've ended off 2 weeks ago when I spoke about breaching the line to be an overcomer. But I believe that God actually wants us to know what it is when He lives inside of us. When He is so relevant in our lives that every day we can make a change wherever we go. So I want to continue on that conversation. I did not finish what I wanted to say on that Sunday, so I'm so glad for this preaching opportunity before I go to South Africa. Because here Jesus is confronting disciples in such a way that they had to make some big choices. And I believe God is confronting us with the same every day of our lives. Listen to the same story in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is really a lake. I don't know if you've been there. It's not a sea as the Bible would mention it as a sea. It's not a sea as we know it. Although they say they might even come great waves from time to time. It's a lake, okay? It's in the middle of dry land, but it's very big. And it's here that Jesus comes to them next to the lake of Gennesaret, and he starts to speak to them. And he saw two boats by the lake, by the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Okay, hear the frustration in his words. Jesus, I am a fisherman. I know what it is to toil all night on the sea, and you are cold, you are wet, and you just want to go home. But because of the pressure of the people standing in front of you, there's no ways that I can now not do what you're asking me to do. And put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the boat, the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything, and followed him. So Peter was quite a hardcore businessman. He had assets, he had boats, he had people that worked for him, had a lot of experience, and here come Jesus to turn his whole world upside down at a time of his life when probably, you know, business was not doing so bad, but in this evening, Jesus is beating him at his own game. And I just want to say to you, you know, it's amazing how we in life start to believe that we get a harness on how life works and what life entails and how we should go about, and we get into our rhythm of how we should do everyday life, and then God starts to confront us with change, with the fact that He has much more in store for us, and He loves us too much to leave us to stay the same. Is it not so? Okay, I can see some of you at least admit that. That when you serve Jesus, there's only one constant, and that is change. Okay. The fact that you and I get to a place of confrontation, like Peter, at a place where God takes him out of the securities of his life and says, leave everything and follow me. Now, there's a few things that I want to mention. The first thing is, what is in your hand? Peter had business skills. He could work with people. He had perseverance. He had skills that God wanted to use. And I want to say to you this morning, there's certain things that you do well. There's certain skills that you're very good at. There's certain giftings that God has given you, by the way. If you didn't know that, God gave you those giftings. And yet, sometimes we fall in the trap of getting so obsessed by our contribution that we forget it's by God's grace that we can offer God anything. And so the second thing that God is expecting, because you must now remember, a man called Peter must make a few sums in his head about this man Jesus. Jesus did not know anything about commercial fishing. He did not know anything about, you know, even weather patterns. Jesus was schooled as a woodworker. What do you call that? Carpenter. Yeah, sorry. Carpenter. Jesus was skilled as a carpenter. And yet, in the midst of these circumstances, when Jesus says, throw the nets out on the other side, things start to happen. I want to say to you, there's something that Jesus is expecting Peter to understand. And the first one is, Jesus is asking us, Peter, are you willing
to give that which you are good at into my hand so that I can use it to fulfill my purposes. I'm not talking about good works this morning. Because I've heard about many Christians, and I'm taking myself in account this morning. I want to say to you, there's many times in my life that I've been involved in good works, but not God works. Things that is noble and a good thing to do, but it's not what God expects of my life at a certain season and time of my life. And I want to say to you, many times we are busy telling ourselves that we are fine and that, you know, we are doing good stuff. We are blessing people around us. We are good citizens of this country. We even give unto the church. And yet, this is just the basic understanding of what Jesus is busy confronting Peter with. Because Jesus is not just saying, pack up your things and follow me and bring your giftings to the table. Jesus is really bringing Peter to the understanding. Peter, I want everything. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want you to understand that there's much more than just your fishing experience. And this is the confrontation that I've mentioned to you the previous time when we spoke. As when I came into London, the first thing that God asked me, are you going to rely on your experience? Are you going to rely on me to be the guide of your life? Are you willing to lay down all of your experience and trust me to lead you through this season? Now I want to say to you, we get so good at and so professional at Christianity that we want to tell God how things should work here on earth. And this is where Peter is at. He says, God, I've been there. I've been at sea the whole night. I've been a fisherman for quite a while. If I say there's no fish, I can tell you most probably most of the people around me will believe me and they will not take their boats at sea because they trust my judgment. But Jesus, because of the pressure, I just want to say, I'll do it. And then the humbling experience of the second confrontation, Jesus' people economy. The fact that Jesus wanted Peter to understand that there's something much greater than the skills that he had to offer. Listen to John 21, verse 1 to 7, and even verse 15 to 17. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn there. I just love reading out of the Bible. John chapter 21. Verse 1 to 7. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Okay. This is like deja vu. This is a time when Jesus died. Jesus is not with them anymore. Jesus is appearing on the beach again, making a little fire there, ready to receive his disciples. And again, exactly the same thing happens to Peter than when Peter started 3 years ago, when Jesus said, follow me, leave everything behind. He is at a place where he toiled all night, and yet Jesus is asking them, did you catch any fish? Listen to verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus.
Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. By this time, Peter did not know that it was Jesus. But the light bulb went on. There that disciple, and he said to them, "Cast out your net." Verse 7. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord, Peter.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea." Listen to verse 15. And I'm going to blow my nose after that aircon quickly. So please bear with me. Go to verse 15 so long. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' So they were sitting now on the seashore. Jesus made some fish that they caught, probably. And Jesus is asking them, Simon, Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to them, 'Feed my sheep.'" Now, an important thing that's happening here in Peter's life, because here Jesus is repeating three times, and I believe that Jesus is bringing a healing process in Peter's life, because at this stage he's repeating it three times, because Peter also denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is asking him, "So Peter, can we get back to the most important conversation in your life? Can we get back to the conversation of why you are doing what you are doing? Peter, can we get back to the fact that I've called you to be a fisher of men rather than a fisherman, and you, yet after all, when I left, immediately said to the rest, 'I'm going back fishing'? Peter, can we have a conversation about the fact that you're missing the point here? But I love you enough that I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to walk this road with you till the end. Peter, can we have a conversation about the fact that I've called you to tend my sheep?" And so Jesus asked him, and you know, the wording here is so important, because the first time he says to him, "Do you phileo me?" Now, phileo is the affectionate word that we know of coochie coochie, you know, that one of, "Oh, come on, you know, I love you, Sophiso." That is phileo love. Affectionate love. So Jesus asked him, "Do you phileo me, Peter?" And then Peter makes some sums, and he knows that Jesus is cornering him now. And he says, "Yes, Jesus, you know, for sure. There is definitely affectionate love in my life." And then Jesus says to him, "Can we have a conversation about the calling upon your life, Peter? Are you going to tend the sheep as I've called you to? Are you going to stick to the promises that I have for your life?" And then the second time, Jesus says, "Do you agapeo me?" Which is a different word in Hebrew. It's the word of not just affectionate love, but an unconditional love that goes as far as to lay down your life for another person. And then Peter starts to realize where Jesus is going with this conversation, because he knows that he's not even close to that. Jesus, we can talk about phileo and Jesus. We understand that affectionate love is, but Jesus, agapeo love,
laying down my life for you. I'm the one that at the most important time, when I had to stand with you and show you agapeo life, love, the kind of love where I lay down my life and say to everyone that I know this Jesus, I've messed up. I've missed the point. And then Jesus actually responds the third time and he says, do you phileo me? Which again, Jesus is bringing him back to the fact that, don't worry. Can we settle with the fact that, Peter, I know exactly where you are at. But can we first get to the healing of your life before we go and tend the sheep? I want to say to you this morning, you can only shine forth the love of Jesus if you have Jesus in your life. There's a place where you and I must receive healing from God. And we must have our cup to overflow, as we've heard so many times in the last few weeks, before we can share to other people. And this is the beauty of Peter's life, because he was messed up. He made so many mistakes. He was probably one of the most transparent apostles that lived, because whatever he felt that he said. And yet, God brings him to a place. Jesus brought him to a place where Jesus is saying, listen, let's get back to the most important thing of your life. I've called you to serve people. I've called you to do great things in people's lives. I want to say to you today, we sometimes get fooled, even in Christian circles. I've heard it so many times. If I only do my little bit and I, you know, if I can just, you know, serve with my giftings, then I'm fine. I want to say to you, Jesus wants more of us. Jesus wants us to understand that it's not just about our giftings. It's about an understanding that His economy is for people. A place where Jesus knew, listen, I love the world so much. But that's the best place that we can be because Jesus is there. He's weeping over His people. And I want to say to you, Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, can we have a conversation about the world that's going to hell? The next time that you're going to walk from the temple, people are going to fall in the spirit and they're going to get healing just because of your shadow. Can we have a conversation about that? You know why? Not because you are so wonderful, Peter. You are messed up. And I want to say to you today, I am messed up. There's so many things that I don't get right, but I know one thing. I will keep on hoping that Jesus will transform me so that I can be a blessing to others around me. And so Jesus is bringing Peter to a place of realization, thirdly, that he desperately needed Jesus, being beaten by his own game. And I want to tell you, there's no ways that Peter can boast after this that he is so amazing, because it's only when Jesus says, throw out the nets on the other side, that it works. Because they've tried both sides. Number four, don't allow your tradition to miss the God moments. There's certain things that God is going to ask of us, and I want to say to you, don't think what worked the previous time in your workplace is going to work again. If God is challenging me about the fact that I cannot fall on my experience, I want to tell you, it's the same for you. Don't think that it's going to work the same again. See, and I'm telling you, it can get wild when we follow Jesus. I'm so glad that this morning heard that you guys are picking up in the Spirit things like you did. Follow Jesus, but get rid of the baggage. Number five, Peter and the others left everything and followed Jesus. And, you know, I just believe that Peter would never be at a place, and I was just reading it this morning again to the guys here. It was actually for me a word for this morning's meeting. Acts chapter
Was it chapter 3? Yeah, number 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Can I just say to you this morning, these men were seen in society as outcasts that has nothing to offer because they were uneducated and they could not be on high level, authority level in any community at the time. But yet, they were the leaders in society as it was because they were with Jesus.
Number 6, trust in Jesus' way. Peter wanted to argue, but went to throw the nets on the other side and saw that when you follow Jesus, things change. Matthew 4, verse 19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Number 7, you need to support the support of others. Peter asked the others to come and help. Peter had a strong covenantal relationship with people around him.
I want to say to you, there's certain people that God placed in your life for certain seasons that God is gathering around you to bring in the harvest. And that's the beauty of Peter's understanding of the time that he lived in. Listen, guys, I'm not going to bring in the fish alone. Please come closer. Because in our blessing, we will be a blessing to others. And I want to say to you, God has a plan for your life, and wherever you go, if it's George's, it's George's. If it's... where do you work? The hospital. Okay. The NHS. Unilever. Okay. Apartment store. Wherever you are busy with, there's certain people that God is gathering around you. And God is expecting you to see what He is seeing, because He has a plan well beyond your little life. And I want to say to you, you know, I know coming here to London, there's no ways that I am going to do anything except being myself. I know that God has created a team to fulfill His work at a time such as this. And I want you to be aware of the fact that you and I always need to partner with people that God wants to use. Now, I want to just end off with something that I actually wanted to speak on last week as well. Is 6 things. So, stand strong. Are you still strong?
Yeah.
Just shake the person next to you and say, be strong. Because there's 7 things that I want to quickly mention. Those who follow Jesus and the reasons why they follow Jesus. And I want you to even, some of it might be relevant in your own life. And, you know, sometimes we grow, and I want to say, I've many times told the story here as well. You know, with my children, I've seen it through the years. They love Dad coming back home for the gift that it represents. Because of the China toy, okay? It's not because Daddy's back, it's because of the China toy, okay? So, as they grow older, they start to appreciate you as a person. You know, the fact that you are back, that you are spending more time with them, okay? And as they grow, they get more mature in the understanding that relationships is important. And that having a good relationship with my mother and father is actually important. And it's beautiful to see that, and I'm telling you, maybe Anna Mart at this stage of her life will not have such a great appreciation as she would have when she's out of school and getting married, and understand that, listen, what a blessing it is to be, you know, with family. And she is. Just want to say, my wife is looking at me as if she's saying, please do not expose our child. Anna Mart is a blessing.
I'm just saying the age that she's in, you know, many times they don't appreciate it. But she grows, and it's beautiful to see how she grows. And there's a stage of her life that we actually had to fight with her on this. We said, listen, next time when we go with you to your school, and I might just make sure that you come and greet mom and dad, that you don't, you know, disappear with the friends, that spend time with us as well and recognize us. And you know what's the beauty of the growth that I see in her life? Is that we as Christians are the same. The closer we come to Jesus and the more mature we get, you know, in relationship to Him and with Him, the more we appreciate the relationship for what it is and His presence in our lives for what it is. So, there's different people that that follow Jesus, and I want to quickly mention them. John 6:26 to 27 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him God the Father has set its seal." So there were some that followed Jesus because they observed His power, and it was amazing to them to be part of it. They had a witness of His supernatural power and be amongst the crowds. These people wanted to be in a church that has the best of everything. They only wanted to be in a successful church. Now I want to say to you, even Judas saw all the signs of Jesus at the time, and yet he was scheming and conniving and stealing out of the money box. How do you do that? If you see a man healing people all the time and you see the kind of power that he has, how do you get to a place where you don't fear him for who he is? I want to say to you, I've seen it in this age of Christianity, of the church. There's many people that follows Jesus only because of His power. They follow Him because they love the signs and wonders and the miracles they can observe. But you know what? They don't have a clue about who Jesus really is. And then there's those enjoying the meal. They had their physical needs met. John 6:34. They said to Him, "Sir, give us bread always." They wanted to be blessed. They are people going to church only to get blessed. They will take all they can. And please don't feel condemned this morning. I'm not saying that this is you. You are amazing people, saints of God, the most anointed, blessed people. So please don't feel condemned. I'm saying that there's a leaven in the church that we must make sure we don't have. They wanted to be blessed. They are people going to church only to get blessed. They will take all they can without the willingness to pay the price for commitment. They believe the church is there for them so that their needs can get met. The age that we are living in, and I want to say it, guys, we must make sure that the church that we are serving in is a church where we understand that I come to give. You know, I want us to, at the end, sing the song, "The Days of Elijah." Because I believe we are in the days of Elijah. I believe that we are in a time when we must come to the prophetic enactment of people that know and understand what it means to live sacrificial lives for the kingdom. Obedient lives, where the mantle of God is upon our lives because we're walking in boldness, not because of what we can get from Jesus. And it's going to get more difficult. And I want to have this sermon before we grow in the Lord, because I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to serve Jesus in the last days. And being obedient in the last days, and we know the last days of the spirit of Elijah, means that, you know, you and I will have obedient lives unto death. This is what the first church experienced day in, day out. Those pretending
to follow his agenda. John 6:15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. There was a time when they wanted to make Jesus king in the physical, and Jesus said, "No, no, no, I can see your agenda. You're not here to understand the things of God. You are here for political gain." Listen to this. Those who wanted strong leadership from Jesus to pursue their own course. They needed him for their own personal agenda against the Romans. He gave them the opportunity to use his mobilization power to stir a rebellion and revolt against the government. God sent Jesus to establish a heavenly kingdom. They are believers that use church politics to gain positions and control in church, government, and ministries. They operate in the spirit of witchcraft, of sorcery, to manipulate the church for personal gain. And then number four, the secured ones. The followers that sought a fulfillment for their spiritual lives but refused to acknowledge Jesus as the source of strength, hope, and future. John 6:30. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" They acknowledged Jesus as their source of joy, peace, and health, but their jobs, careers, family, and pleasure has taken the place of Jesus bringing fulfillment in their lives. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
I want you to stick with me this morning. They seem to be more yielded to a world system rather than to Christ. I love what John Bevere is saying in his new book. He says, the church is like Superman, having all the abilities to bring the solution to the table for the last days. But when you bring kryptonite close to Superman, he's more powerless than the people that he should serve. And there's a leaven within us as a church. And this morning, I know this is not one of those nice words, because I'm calling you to be fisher of men. But I'm telling you, we must examine our hearts and see why we are following Christ. Because there's a leaven that crept into the church of God, into such a place where we are more worldly than the world's people themselves. And so, number five, those who want to trap him, those who wanted to trap him in his ways and answers to them, always in range to clarify things, test his reactions or frustrate his movement or plans. They sow discord and unbelief among the brethren. They provoke people to continually doubt and reject him. John 11:37. But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" There was people following Jesus the whole time. And you know what? These people always wanted to catch Jesus out. They had a desire to show that he's just a fraud. You know, he's got good intentions, but he's not really it. Number six, those who follow him, who follow with fear, those who abandoned all to follow Jesus, but unsure of their personal destiny. They cannot rest in assurance. A heavy spirit of fear and anxiety, always feeling inadequate to serve God, tortures them. Mark 10:26-28. They were astonished and said to him, "Is this thing dying on me? Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." I want to say to you this morning, there was many people that followed Jesus. There was many people that was very close to Jesus, that was in the inner circle. And that's why I love the picture of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and saying to Jesus, "What should I do to earn eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Okay, but do whatever is asked of you according to the law of Moses." So he says, "Well, I've done it all.
And Jesus says to him, but can we talk about the fact that you will not give up everything and follow me? Are you with me this morning? Because then the rich young ruler walks away. Jesus did not call him and say, listen, can we have a conversation over this? Let's just talk about your salvation. Can we just talk about the fact that you, if you walk away here today, you're walking away from that which is most precious in life? Jesus left him. And then Jesus turned, and I love the rest of that scripture. Jesus turned to his disciples, the ones that was very close to him. And then they asked him, so Jesus, we gave up everything. Can we have a conversation about what are we going to get in eternity? And then Jesus gave them some secrets of heaven. He said to them, you'll be the 12 that will sit on the thrones judging the people when they get into eternity. And I want to say to you, you know, for us, I just want to say, in the church of God today, there's many that follows Jesus. There's many that follow him with different agendas. There was those who were not in the inner circle, but they're on the outskirts, always busy criticizing Jesus, always having a lot to say, but they did not surrender to his lordship. Are you with me? There was many that followed Jesus, thousands and thousands, seeing the miracles, and they could not stay away from it. It was contagious. And yet there was only some that he gave the secrets of eternity. Number 7, those who follow because they know. Those who followed him because they truly knew who he was. Romans 10, 6 to 10. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Can we stand this morning? You know what? I'm so aware of the fact that Jesus come and take us just where we are. You know that Jesus, if he can choose the 12 again, he would choose Judas again. Because it was the Father's choice. Ooh, are you with me? Judas was a sinful schemer and conniver. And yet Jesus wanted him on his team. The 12 that was chosen for eternity's sake. There was one man that missed the plot totally. And yet Jesus chose him because God the Father had a plan. Now I want to say to you this morning, you know, even though we've got many agendas and we've got, you know, our hearts, a filthy heart, and I want to say to you, I'm not excluding myself. God exposed so many things in my life in the past. And yet, I want to say to you this morning, we are challenged over and over again, like Peter, to come to the understanding of why do we serve Christ? Why are we following him? And then Jesus comes back to Peter and he says, Peter, do you know what? You actually have it wrong. Because every time that you are under pressure and you're trying to figure this thing out, you fall by default back to the things that you know you can do best. Peter, I want you to go to the next level. I want you to trust me to fulfill my promises in and through your life with your giftings. But you know what? I'm going to take you much further. I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone to a place where you can do whatever is necessary to fulfill. I stand in front of you today, I'm a loser. But I know that there's one that can do it. I know that there's one that changes and transforms my life and that press me until that oil comes out. But the blessing of it is, as soon as I recognize that I need Him, as Peter would have to say, Jesus, you're beating me at my own game, He can start to operate. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, we come before you, Father, and we want to recognize that there's so many reasons why we are serving you. Father, there's so many filthy things in our hearts, Father God, in just the way in which we go about in fulfilling your kingdom. Oh, and Father, this morning we come to you because we are broken people, because we are desperately in need of a Savior. Thank you for the cross this morning. And Father, I want to just say this morning, if it was not for the cross, my life would have been in shambles. Father God, but this morning I know it's by your grace that I can, Father, do your work and that I can serve you with all that I have. Father God, I recognize that it's not even my own ability. And Father, I know that you are walking here among us this morning with a desire to touch our lives, with a desire to meet us on the beach, asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these fish, these securities, these people even, these assets that you have? And Father, this morning we recognize that there's so many things that we're still clinging on to. Father God, there's so many things that we still operate in the flesh. But Father, this morning we have a willingness to fulfill your promise. And Father, we pray that you will come and meet us where we are. Come and take us out of the tree like Zacchaeus. Come and meet us at the burning bush when Moses was devastated and far off from his calling. And Father God, David, when he was busy tending the sheep, and yet you came and you helped him to overcome the lion and the bear. And Father God, this morning there's so many lions, there's so many bears in our lives. And Father, we recognize that we are missing the point. It's all about you, Jesus. And Father, we bring our hearts to you. We ask you in Jesus' name, come and bring us to a place of surrender, because we cannot go on without you. In Jesus' name. This morning, I want us to at least just recognize the filth in our hearts. And as we stand here, I want us to sing the song of the days of Elijah. And I want to trust that this morning God is going to speak to you. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. Now, I don't want to even try to figure out where you are at and why you are serving Jesus and why you are part of His kingdom. But the beauty of it is, you know that Jesus knows. And He wants you to just go from glory to glory. He wants you to experience His blessing. So as we sing this song, and as we go into a time really of, I believe for the church, really a window of opportunity to gather, to bring in those who still need to come in for salvation, I want to trust that God is going to stir within our hearts a desire to see His kingdom come, and to see many following you. Is that alright? So if you this morning need any prayer, we're going to pray with you. I think let's worship together, and let's see where God is taking us. Amen.